stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and wondered, how can this be, that someone so guilty had just been set free? My chains, they were broken. I was born again. The moment when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. The blood was presented and it covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. Walked in.
Wonderful. Praise God. That's a good way to get church started off this morning. Good singing, congregational singing. Thank you for your participation in the congregational music. And then good special music. Boy, let's talk about the mercy of God. And folks, I don't know about you. I just never got over being saved. I got saved. I knew what that God was getting the short end of the deal. And boy, I was the one that was benefiting the most. From it. And I hope that if you're a child of God this morning, you're a Christian, I hope that you never reach the place to where you get bored with God. Amen. Listen, there are so many things that are accessible for you in the Christian life. You just need to get involved. A lot of them surround the church that Jesus died for, like a local church. Let me encourage you to get involved in your church. Find a place to fit into the overall program of God. Take your Bible this morning, if you would, join me in the Old Testament in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, if you're new to your Bible, find Psalms. If you open your Bible, look at your Bible, go right. All right? You'll find Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and you'll be right there with us. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Now, while you're turning there, let me just bring you up to where we're going to begin reading in verse number 16. Solomon, wisest man in the world, according to the Scriptures. But I want to say that Solomon didn't always follow his own advice and didn't always follow his own counsel. But one of the things that he wanted to do in his wisdom is he wanted to know the aspect of every part of life. And he wanted to know what it was like to be on this side, what it was like to be a compromiser in the middle, and what it was like to go ho-hum for God. And so he kind of surveyed life, and he began to look at all the aspects of the different places that people find themselves in life. So I want you to stand with me, if you would, please. Ecclesiastes 1, follow along silently as I begin to read in verse number 16. Solomon says, I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, My heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart, he says, and I want you to notice this, to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I want you to circle those three words, wisdom, madness, and folly. Those are going to be the three words that I'm going to build the message around this morning. But Solomon said, I gave my heart, I dedicated myself to know all three aspects of life. He said, I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Go back to verse number 17, and I want you to look at this, because I want to preach to you today on the subject of how Solomon saw life, and here's how he saw it. He saw it in three dimensions. He saw life in three dimensions this morning, and I want to take the three aspects, the three dimensions in which he saw life, wisdom, madness, and folly, and I want to preach to you on that subject, life in three dimensions. Father, would you bless now, I pray, our time. We're so glad that we have the opportunity to be in the house of God. And Lord, we don't take it for granted. We want you to meet with us this morning. We do not want this service to be in vain. I pray that as I speak, that the spirit of every person in this auditorium, even as I speak, would be opening now to the teaching and preaching of your word. And that your voice, that still small voice, might supersede the voice of the preacher and speak to every heart in a place that I cannot reach. And I ask this morning, please have thine own way. And Lord, when we leave this place today, we want you to have all the glory and the praise for what shall be accomplished today in Christ's name. Amen, amen. You can be seated. Now, this is going to date me and date some of you, but how many of you remember the old Viewmasters? Huh? You remember the old Viewmasters? Anybody still have one? Okay, we got a couple of adults that are still reeling with the old Viewmaster. But the old Viewmaster, if you'll remember those things, you know, you used to take the little circular cards and put them in there. Now, I remember when I was a kid, the only thing that they had in 3D that you could see were like landscape pictures. Y'all remember that? They didn't have a lot of the cartoons and things that they do now. It was basically just pictures of landscape or something like that. But I remember the old Viewmasters putting that in there and clicking there. And as a kid, I thought, wow, man, look how vivid this is. Look how deep this is. I'm telling you, I was impressed. Like you are today. And so I was impressed because I remember those Viewmasters. You know what? It was the first time I had ever seen anything in 3D. It's the first time I had ever seen anything that had the fullness of something right before my very eyes. Some of you in here may have been out to the Omni or to the planetarium where you have to wear those little funny glasses. If you go out there and watch something in 3D or present it in 3D, you have to wear those little glasses. Now listen, you can watch the program without them if you want, but you're not going to get the full benefit. You can watch it however you want. You can wear the glasses or not wear the glasses. Here, I'm telling you, it's worth wearing the glasses. I don't care how you look. It's you're in the dark anyway. And but you wear those little cardboard glasses, you know, look like little geek glasses or something. And what it does, now listen, what it does, it allows you to see things as they are. It allows you to see the depth, the height, the width of things. Now listen, if you don't wear them, you're going to miss some things. You're going to miss some things that these glasses, which actually filter out or add to your ability to see things like they are. You see, it allows you to see something in depth rather than just what is on the surface. If you take those glasses off, the whole thing, the whole landscape changes, doesn't it? You see, we have in our hand today something that'll help you see everything in three dimensions. It'll help you to see something for what life really is. You see, life is more than riches, right? Life is more than just gathering and see how much we can gather, and he that has the most toys wins. You see, that's not biblical principle. God has given us a Bible here which serves as our glasses, which serves as the things that we can see life through, and we can get the full depth, the width, the height of everything that we can see here in life. Well, Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, categorized life experiences into three dimensions. He called them in these three dimensions. He called it wisdom, madness, and folly. Now, think about it with me for just a moment. Each one of these dimensions that he mentions here has to do with our position or our relationship with God, with others, and ourself. Every one of these will incorporate all of those. By the way, you know, we operate here in society by using a lot of three-dimensional things. And as you know, that many things that we use around here, particularly if you're talking about the physical aspect of things, people, you know, many of you have used longitude and latitude and altitude and all the things. What it does, these things, these dimensions allow you, it's to put a place and a specific point of where you are located. This morning, what I want to do by looking at these three dimensions of life, I want you to ask yourself, where are you located in this? Where are you located in wisdom, madness, or folly this morning? And I think you'll look and see yourself for where you are, for what Solomon saw, because he said, listen, two of the three are vain. Two of the three are vexation of spirit. And so Solomon exercised all of these things this morning to help us to see what life was all about. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use a couple of these young men on the front here. So here's what I'm going to do. You three guys right there, you win. All right, come on up here. All right? Y'all come on up here just a minute. All right? One of you stand right here. Okay, hurry, 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 hurry. People are going to be asleep here if y'all don't hurry. All right? Stand right there, spread out right here. All right. Aren't these guys, don't they look sharp? Yeah. Now, Solomon saw life in three dimension. As he was looking at life, he saw all aspects at once. Kind of like your little viewmaster. You look in there and you can see the depth, the width, the height of things. Well, Solomon saw life in three dimension and he recorded it in the 12 chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, here's what he called them. He called them folly, madness, and wisdom. Do I need to mix this up? Y'all are laughing. Do I need to change this? All right. What? Who are you? You're folly. And who are you? And who are you? All right. Now, they know who they are. But think about this now. Solomon saw it all at once in three dimensions. Now, wisdom is knowing the truth of God's word. It's knowing the truth of God's way. It's knowing the truth of God's will. Listen now. And not just being a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Wisdom not only knows the truth, it applies the truth to every aspect of their life. That's who this guy is. Y'all think he exercises that? All right. So he's wisdom. But then Solomon said there's another phase of life, another dimension of life called madness. Now listen, madness also knows the truth of God's word, the truth of God's way, the truth of God's will. But here's what madness does. Madness takes a step back and looks to see how he can manipulate everything to work within his lifestyle of choice. He's not necessarily convinced to go all the way. He's trying to figure out how he can take a little bit of this and a little bit of this and still be called a Christian. So that is madness, is what that is. Now this guy over here is folly. Now, folly is knowing the truth or have heard of the truth of God's word, God's way, God's will. But here's what folly does. Folly doesn't care to pursue it. Folly doesn't care to prove it. Folly doesn't care to perform it. In other words, folly could care less. He makes no attempt whatsoever to consider the benefits of truth. To benefits of God's will, God's way, God's word. His idea is my way or the highway. That's kind of how he does. He kind of defines his own terms. So here you have folly, one dimension of life. This guy right here is lost as a goose in a hailstorm. All right? This guy right here may or may not be saved, but he's trying to manipulate God. And this guy over here says, I'm not manipulating anything. I know who I am. I'm a nothing but a sinner saved by grace. And he said, I'm just going to take God at his word. And if God says it, that settles it. And I'm just going to apply it to my life. Because I tell you, it can't be any worse than where I came from. And so he's just decided to give wholeheartedly up to God. Now, who are you? Folly and madness. And all right, have a seat because I'm going to come back to you in just a minute. Okay? Now, each of these dimensions of life serve as a measuring tool. Are you with me? They serve as a measuring tool to help us locate where we are on the radar of God. You ever thought about that? You ever thought where you measure up on God's heavenly radar? Are you over here with folly? Are you over here, it's my way or the highway? Or over here, I'm not really concerned about church, God's word. I'm not concerned about any of that. Is that where you are? Or are you where, I'm sad to say, way too much of Christianity lives in absolute madness? We try to manipulate God, manipulate His church, manipulate His word. And here's what we try to do. We try to conform it to our lifestyle of church. Listen, everybody in here, look up here at me now. Everybody up here, you've got just as much church as you want. You have just as much of the Bible as you want. You've got just as much of God as you want in your life. This is where madness is. But then you have the guy over here that's totally sold out. That's wisdom. He's taking a look at everything and he says, man, if God is going to keep His word, I won't end on this. I won't end on this type of life. Now listen carefully. Solomon tells us then that he chose to give his heart to know all of these. And let me say something real quick before you badmouth Solomon, all right? Before we get down on him too much, all of us have had that little idea in our head. Well, listen, I just need to go experience something so that I can better understand it. Come on, help me out now. Everybody's thought about, listen, if I can just go and experience something, I might better understand. Oh, by the way, we really are able to make it spiritual, because if we go and experience something and get involved in something, then maybe we might be better to help other people. Listen to me. Do you know I know drugs are bad for you without having to put them in my veins? Yeah, I don't have to go experiencing them to know that they're not good for you. But Solomon somehow in his mind, in his wisdom, thought he needed to go and experience all of this. You know where it got him? It got him with 900 wives. That's where it got him. Or 1,000 wives. 700 wives and 300 concubines. 1,000 wives. That's where it got him. Because he wanted to experience life. Hey, it got him, in the end of his life, it got him mixed up in idolatry. Hey, I'm just saying, how did he get that way? He got that way because he looked at the dimensions of life and he says, I'm going to try to experience all of them so that I can be wiser. Now listen to me very carefully. God did not condone Solomon's actions. Solomon did a lot of this of his own free will. God didn't condone him going and marrying 1,000 women. And yet, you know what people do? People will use that as, oh, look at Solomon. 1,000? Come on now. Hey, God didn't condone that. Solomon did that totally on his own. And you know what? At the end of his life, go check me out in Ecclesiastes 12. You know what his conclusion about in life was? It's all vexation of spirit. It's all vanity. He said, I found out that things don't make you happy. I found out that women don't make you happy. I found out that experiencing the vices of life, and he had access to everything. Hey, listen, you didn't have more money than he had. You know, you say, where did he get all that money? Go read the Bible. Most people gave it to him. They just brought offerings and gave it to him because he was so wise. Now, I want to take this and do this in reverse order, okay? I want us to look at the three dimensions of life that Solomon mentioned, but I want to look at them in reverse order. Where's folly? Come on up here, folly. All right, stand right over here. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 14, okay? You brought your Bible this morning, we're going to use it, all right? Proverbs 14 and verse number 24. Proverbs 14, verse 24. The scripture says, Proverbs 14 and verse number 24. The crown of the wise is their riches, but listen to the last part of that verse, but the foolishness of fools is folly. You don't turn there, but you can go and find it in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 11. I know it probably sounds gross right before lunch here, but I want you to listen to what it says. It says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. You say, what does that mean? That means he never learns. That means he does things and he never learns from his mistakes. Listen to me now. This guy right here is eat up with pride. This guy right here is so consumed with himself and pride, he doesn't want anybody to tell him anything. Now listen to me, folly is a lack of good sense. Folly is carelessness. It's unconcern with our actions, our decisions, and listen to me, or the consequences of our actions. They're not concerned about any of that. You see, folly is the product, the scripture says, of a fool. It's the offshoot of being a fool in the Bible. It's one who speaks without knowledge, he acts without instruction, and he lives without any guidance whatsoever. He lives under his own set of rules and regulations. Listen now, even though he knows they're wrong, he's going to live by them because he's the one that set them. He lives this way. He lives on the dark side of life. Who is this guy? Folly. This is the guy that's living in darkness. This is the guy that is going to be susceptible to some things. Listen to me. Here's what folly leads to. First of all, it leads to false beliefs. It leads to false beliefs. Take your Bible. You're right there in Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 5 quickly. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22. You okay back there, folly? Okay. Hang with me. I'll let you go here in just a minute. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22. The scripture says, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go. Help me now. What does your Bible say? He shall go where? He shall go astray. You see, folly, this carelessness, this unconcern, this lack of good sense, leads to false beliefs, like humanism, socialism, evolution. Hey, I'm just telling you that this leads to this type of thinking. And by the way, it leads also, if he doesn't get this corrected, if he doesn't have somebody that helps him in life, he'll reach the place in Psalm 14 verse 1 where the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You say, well, how does a person reach that point, preacher? By their folly, by their lack of good sense, by their lack of concern or actions or their decisions or the consequences of what they do. It leads them to false beliefs. Listen, I know people today that never thought, 20 years ago, that they would ever be in the condition that they're in, nor would they ever believe they would believe what they believe today. You know why? Because they got mixed up in folly. Because folly leads to false beliefs. And many fools, the scripture says, say there is no God. So all of these, listen, all of these people out there that claim to be atheists, according to the Bible, it says they're a fool. It says they're caught up in folly. They have a lack of good sense. Because the scripture says all you got to do is look around you and tell there's God. That's all you have to do is just look around. But folly leads to false beliefs. Listen now, let me tell you what else folly does. Folly leads to bad advice. Listen, if you know somebody that's mixed up like this guy's mixed up, and he's involved in all kinds of things, he believes in evolution, or he believes in humanism, or he believes in socialism, God forbid, he may go as far as communism. Listen to me, folks. Do you know America is falling susceptible to this? All you have to do is look around. And if we Christians don't stand up, America would, listen, your grandchildren would not even recognize this country 25 years from now. You know why? Because of this guy. Look at him. Get a good look at him. It's folly. It's lack of good sense. It's carelessness. It's going through life my way, highway. I define my own terms. It's what I call the Bill Clinton philosophy. You just define your own terms. What do you mean by that? Well, I don't know. Let me define it. Hey, God's already defined terms, folks. Okay, he's already defined terms. But listen to me. Folly leads to bad advice. Turn, if you would, Proverbs 16, real quick. Proverbs 16, verse 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. Let me ask you this. Would you listen to any advice this guy gives you? Come on, help me out. Would you? No. If you do, you're right in the same camp with him. You wouldn't listen to anything that this guy says because you know what he says? He says, whatever feels good, just do it. He says, hey, listen, nothing's going to happen. This is the guy that dares people to do stupid things. You ever meet these guys? You ever meet these people in school? I dare you. You know what he was? He was a fool. He was mixed up in folly. And here's what happens. When people get hurt or injured, guess where the fool goes? Away. He's not going to rescue you. He's going to leave you high and dry. You see, this guy is the same guy that says, oh, mom and dad are out of touch with reality. Mom and dad, they're archaic. They're out there. They're Jurassic. They're out there somewhere in Dino age somewhere. This also the kind of guy that says church is just full of hypocrites. Ain't no sense in going. And you know, the sad thing about it is he may be right on that one. You see, I'm saying this guy right here cannot be trusted. But you know what he's following? He's following nothing but his flesh. He's living on the dark side of life. Listen, this guy is not born again. This guy has no salvation whatsoever. So therefore, his folly leads him to false beliefs. His folly leads him to bad advice to other people. And his folly leads him, listen now, to personal deception. Personal deception. Proverbs 14 and verse number 8. Proverbs 14, verse number 8. Look at it. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. But look at this. But the folly of fools is deceit. Now listen, not only is he deceptive to others, but you know who the person he's fooling the most? Himself. He's fooling himself the most because he's deceived about happiness. He thinks by having a little bit of money in his pocket is going to bring him joy and happiness. He thinks that having various things and the more goods that he has, the better off he's going to be. He's deceived about happiness. Listen to me. He's deceived about morals and values and virtue. Because you know what? You know what most of the fools and the folly going on outside here are? Hey, most of the people, most of what's being promoted, listen, you can like it, like this or not, but I'm just telling you, the world is not promoting chastity. The world is not promoting purity. Matter of fact, now most of the time in our public school system, if you are pure, you're a nerd. That's the way it's presented. But listen, what I'm saying is, you know what? It's because of the folly. It's because of this guy right here. Hey, listen, he's deceived about happiness. He's deceived about morals. He's deceived about values. He's deceived about virtue. But you know what the sad thing is? The thing is that he's deceived most about is eternity. Because he thinks, hey, I'm good. I'm good. I'm all right. He said, look, got a little money, got a few things. Hey, I'm doing well. It reminds me of the old boy in Luke chapter 12. Remember this guy that had all of these possessions? And he says, you know what? I've got so many things. I think I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones so that I can store all of my goods in the barns. And you know what the Lord said to him? He said, thou, help me now, fool. He said, thou fool. He said, today thy soul shall be required of thee. You know who that guy was? It's this guy right here. And can I say to you this morning, if you're in the camp with this guy, don't listen to him. Don't follow him because he's got bad advice. His belief systems are all messed up. And listen, he's deceived. He's deceived himself. And if he's deceived himself, how can he communicate anything of any value to you whatsoever? This guy is lost, and it doesn't matter what he says. Don't listen to him. Listen, Solomon saw a dimension of life like this to where it was happy-go-lucky. And he had a smile on his face. And just because you got a smile on your face don't mean you're a Christian. Just because you got a smile on your face. Hey, listen, there's a lot of heathens out there smiling, but they're driving around in their new cars and they live in their $5 million houses and they're smiling on camera. Hey. Listen, and I guarantee if the microphone was stuck in his mouth, said, do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? What's that? Are you kidding? I live in heaven. I got money. I got houses. I got things. Hey, listen, you know who he's listening to? That guy. Right there. All right, folly, have a seat. Where's madness? Come on up, madness. Hold your place there, if you would, in Proverbs. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 6 for just a minute. I want to talk to you about this guy for a second. Matthew chapter 6, quickly in verse 24. Now, remember we learned about madness. Remember, this is the guy that knows God's word, knows God's way, knows God's will, but he's going to try to manipulate the system. He's going to try to manipulate things to make it conducive to his lifestyle. In other words, this is the guy that may have vices in his life, and he's going to go try to find scripture that are going to be conducive and try to promote by misusing the scriptures and manipulating them to promote his lifestyle. That's what this guy's going to do. Now, Solomon said, he said, I saw another dimension of life of people that lived right here. He said, I saw people that may or may not be saved, but he said, I saw them, and this was the group of people that kept doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. This guy's delusional. He said, this guy, he knows what the truth is, but he's just decided, I'm going to try to have the best of both worlds. Look at what Jesus said about this, Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Listen, you cannot serve God and mammon. If you believe in writing your Bible, write out beside that verse, impossible. You cannot serve both. Now listen, this guy called madness, he knows everything. It's just that he's trying to manipulate the system. Here's what he does. He thinks he's the exception to the rule. He thinks, well, listen, these other people may not have been able to do it, but bless God, I can do it. And I can still serve God. I can still go to church. I can still read my Bible. And I can still do the vices that I do, what I did prior when I was living over here in folly. Now listen to me. Madness develops a false sense of control. See, he thinks more highly of himself than he should. He thinks that he can conquer the flesh. He thinks that now that I know some of the truth and I know what the truth is, he thinks that, you know what, I'm going to be the exception to the rule. You may not have done it, but I can. You see, we think we can put ourselves in compromising positions and survive. See, he thinks he can put himself in an immoral position and yet come out pure and clean. He thinks much highly of himself. Why? Because you know what madness does? Madness gives you that and develops that sense of control. Listen to me. It gives you that sense of invincibility. That you know what? You may not could, but you don't know me. My name's Madness. My name is the person that I can do whatever I can. Listen, I'm strong. You may be weak, but I'm strong. I can handle it. You ever heard people say that? Are you sort of a preacher? I can handle it. Yeah, right. But madness develops a false sense of control. Let me tell you what else it does. Let me tell you what else this guy does. Madness develops a distorted sense of character. It develops a distorted sense of character. Again, that same mindset that I'm the exception to the rule. I'm okay. God must be okay with me because I don't have any problems. Hey, look at me. And listen, you ever hear people say this? Because if God was in disapproval of my life, then wouldn't he do something? Wouldn't God do something in my life? Wouldn't he chastise me? Well, if you're saved, yes. If you're unsaved, probably not. But madness develops a distorted sense of character. This is the guy that has the idea, me and God have this understanding, you know. I have people tell me all the time, you don't understand, preacher, me and the man upstairs, we got a deal. I said, I'm sorry, God don't make deals. I said, let me tell you the deal that God's got on the table. Here it is, heaven or hell, Jesus or self. That's the deal that's on the table. Now you can take that or leave it. But he doesn't make any deals, or does he bargain for the soul? Now listen, madness develops that false sense of control. It develops that distorted sense of character. But listen, madness develops a warped sense of change. Because here's what he thinks. He thinks if he combs his hair differently, he's fine. Because by the way, I used to wear my hair like this, and now it's combed over. Right? I used to wear my pants down like this. But now, hey, he's got a suit on today. Look. Right? So guess what that makes him? That makes him smart, right? That makes him wise because he's got a suit on. He threw his pants in the garbage and his shoes in the garbage. And now he's dressed up in a suit. So obviously that makes him a good Christian. Now listen. That's what he thinks. He thinks that this is okay. He thinks that, hey, as long as I dress up, as long as I show up, I'm fine. Because his mentality is, hey, listen, I'm better than I was. I'm better than I used to be. Yeah, but have you matched up? Have you conformed to the image of his son? That's Romans 8:29. That's what we were saved to be. We're saved to be conformed to his image, not to conform to the level of Christianity that you choose. He says, I'm better than I used to be. By the way, his first mistake is he's comparing himself to others instead of Christ. You know what this is? This guy's called madness. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm sad to say, a preacher of the gospel 25 years, too many Christians live right here. This is where they live. And Solomon said, I saw this. This is the guy that redefines his Bible position that will conform to his lifestyle of choice. This is the guy that's decided how he's going to live, and he goes look for Bible verses to back it up. Amen. That's who this guy is. It's madness. You see, this is the guy that says, I've tried to change and I can't seem to do it, so God's just going to have to accept me just like I am. And you know what God says to that? Wrong answer. Because, folks, listen to me. God doesn't have to accept you as a believer like you are. God has a way and a design as a child of God for you and I to live. It's called the life of holiness. It's called a life of righteousness. It's called a life of separation from the world. And most of that is absolutely foreign to most people today. And can I say here to you, lovingly and kindly, you are mad. Now let me give you a quick illustration. Let me give you the last one. Mark chapter 10. Remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus gave him a whole list of things and commandments. He said, oh, I've kept all them to my youth. He said, oh, great. Sell everything that you have and give to the poor. You know what this young guy did? This young guy, the scripture says, Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 22, says that he went away sorrowful for he had much riches. He had a, listen, folks, do you realize how close he was? And he went away, he came in madness, he left in madness. All right, madness, you can have a seat. All right? Now let's look at the last thing, the third dimension, real quick, if you would, and let's take a look at what Solomon said was where we're supposed to be. All right? Look at, if you would, Proverbs, or that's right, go to Ecclesiastes 7. All right, we're running out of time, so let's go to Ecclesiastes 7 real quick, and let's take a look at Ecclesiastes 7 and verse number 12. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 12. Are you there? Ecclesiastes 7 verse 12. For wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Wow. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 7 says that wisdom is the principle with an A-L governing thing. Okay? Not L-E, A-L. Big difference, isn't there, principle? Yeah. Wisdom is the principle. It's what governs the life. He says if you don't have someone overseeing your life, you are in a mess. Listen, Brother Combs is our principal over our Christian school. Can you imagine if we had no principal, no authority, and nobody there to govern the rules? The kids are going, yeah! Yeah, it would be anarchy, it'd be chaos. Now, is that how God wants us to live? No, because God's not the author of confusion, but a peace and a sound mind. Hey, there's a way that He wants us to live in the believer's life. Hey, wisdom is knowledge of what is true and what is right, and it's coupled with just judgment as to the actions. In other words, it's the application of what we already know. Now listen very carefully. Wisdom will deliver you from destructive decisions. Wisdom will deliver you from destructive decisions. There's three types of wisdom. Jot them down. I don't have time to cover them. One is applied wisdom. You know where you get that? You get that from the Bible. It's applied wisdom. That's where you get from the scripture. That's wisdom that comes from God. So in order, listen now, to embrace this wisdom, you're going to have to trace this wisdom throughout the Bible. Because when you just, listen, you say, well, I'm just going to go to the book of Proverbs, and that's the only book I'm going to read and get wisdom. Oh, man, you're missing out. Because wisdom is everywhere. So sometimes there is applied wisdom. The second type of wisdom is appointed wisdom. You say, what kind of wisdom is that, preacher? That's the kind you get from life experience. Yeah, that's the one that God appoints you to a situation, and you're in that situation, and you learn from that situation. That's the reason, listen, don't get angry with God when He puts you in a situation that's uncomfortable. He's trying to teach you some, give you some wisdom. So there's appointed wisdom. That's the wisdom, as I said, gained by life experience with people, trials, situations, tragedies. Hey, you know what? In these life experiences, you learn what to do and what not to do. Tell you, you get yourself in a situation and you make the wrong choice, you know, immediately your mind says, boy, if I ever get put in this situation, I'm not going to do that again. You know what that's called? Wisdom. You just gain something. You just gain wisdom. There's applied wisdom. And then there is a third type of wisdom called appearing wisdom. This is the wisdom that you get from the success or failure by watching others. This is the wisdom that you get. Remember Proverbs 24 where Solomon said he went by the field or he went by the vineyard of the foolish. And you know what he saw? He said it was all torn up and grown over. The walls were falling down. He said, man, it was a mess. You know what he learned from that? The scripture says, he said, I saw and I observed, I learned. He said, because you know, I don't want my vineyard to turn out that way. You know what you ought to do? When some of these knuckleheads outside that live in folly or that may even be a Christian and are living in madness and they say, hey, listen, nobody's going to find out. It's no big deal. It's like that kid I was listening to yesterday. He was giving a testimony on the radio. He's been smoking synthetic marijuana. You know what? The kid went out of his mind. But you know how he got involved in it? He got involved in it with another teenage kid that said, hey, look, they can't trace this. They can't find this. And he got involved because somebody who was living in folly or madness said, hey, why don't you come over here and do this? You see, wisdom will deliver you from destructive decisions. Listen, there's a lot of things that I didn't do in life. I did a lot of stupid things. There's some things I just didn't have a part in because just about the time I was ready to do it, I heard my mother's voice. Amen. Have you ever heard mama's voice? Boy. No, I'll tell you one thing. There's some things I didn't like because I didn't want to disappoint my parents. Now, when I was a teenager, I was a jerk. I'll just be honest with you. And I did a lot of things that brought shame to my parents. But there's some things I didn't do because I thought, listen, I ain't doing this. Because I didn't want to bring shame to my parents. I didn't want to bring shame to my mom or my dad. But listen, wisdom will deliver you from destructive decisions. Real quick, wisdom will protect you from Satan's snares. Here's what it'll do. It'll help you recognize the snare. Now listen, I love the outdoors. I can recognize a snare. I can recognize a trap. I can recognize these things. Now listen, 20 years ago, before I got into this, I probably couldn't have. I'd have stepped right in it. But I can recognize it now. I recognize the signs. You know, the more wisdom you obtain, the more you're able to recognize the snares of the devil. Let me tell you one of the snares of the devil. Listen to me. Did you know that he can set a snare for you in the pew today? Yeah. You say, he does. Where is it? It's called this. Yeah. He puts you to sleep. And the reason he puts you sick is he wants you to hear the truth. Amen. So be careful. Be careful. Hey, wisdom protects you from Satan. It helps you recognize the snare. Hey, listen, it also helps you to identify the source. Because if you know who the source is, then you know what? You're probably not going to be apt to step in the trap. If you know what the end is, but it also solidifies the solution. And that means this. That means that, you know what? You recognize the snare, you identify who's behind it, and you realize there are answers. There's a way of escape. Amen. And God provides that way of escape. Let me give you one more, and that's this. And that is wisdom will bring you God's favor. Hey, can I say this to you this morning? Living for Christ is the rewarding life. Hey, wisdom, where are you? Get up here. I'm talking about you, and you thought she was going to get out of it. Look at this guy. I'm telling you. But you know what? You know what this guy will do? He'll help deliver you from bad decisions. He'll teach you the Bible. He'll help open a whole world. Hey, listen, He'll give you that applied, that appointed, that appeared wisdom. He'll help you to see this. Hey, He'll protect you from Satan's snares, but wisdom will bring you God's favor. Because you know what He'll do? He'll whisper, living for Jesus is the most rewarding life known to man. It's the most rewarding life known to man. Hey, serving Christ is the most fulfilling life known to man. Learning about Christ is the most joyful life known to man. I'm just here. Listen. And let me finish up. Come up here, guys. Hurry. Quick. I gotta be done. Here we are. Scoot over here, wisdom. Okay, Solomon saw it in three dimensions. Okay, everybody got your ViewMaster out? We're going to take a look at it. Here it is. You're either here. You're here. Okay, this is a guy that don't care. Okay, he's not real concerned. He's happy. He's got a little bit going for him. So he's fine. And sometimes maybe his athletic ability. Okay? So he's got some things going for him. So he's not really concerned about God, church, or the Bible. Okay? This guy's lost. This guy here is out of his mind. Okay? He's mad. Now the thing about it is why? Because he's trying to manipulate God. He's trying to take Christianity and the world and trying to combine the two and thinks he can live for God and God's going to accept it. This guy's called madness. This guy is wisdom. This guy's figured out, you know what? If I'll put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, greatest life on earth. Greatest rewarding life. Greatest fulfilling life. Greatest joyful life on earth. This is the guy, Solomon, look now, here's the end of it. When he looked at life, and he looked at all dimensions of life, here's what he said. He said, wisdom excelleth folly as light excelleth darkness. He said, this is it, folks. Now listen, in his life, you know what? He was all beat up and scarred up, though, wasn't he? But in the end, he said, this is it, folks, right here. This is the life. This is what God wants. Too many of us live here. Some are here. But can I say something and conclude and say this? Because of Jesus, you can go from here to there this morning. Thank you, guys. Would you bow your heads with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one's looking around. Who can say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I've been born into the family of God. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. Slip it up high and say, that's me. I'm a child of God. If I died today, no question about it, I'm going to heaven. Everybody hand, lift your hand way up high. Say, I'm not even ashamed of it. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. You know, across the auditorium, probably 90% of the people here raised their hands and said, preacher, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a Christian. But I looked out there and I saw probably a dozen hands that could not be raised. Can I say this morning, I don't want you to leave without Jesus this morning. Would you at least let me pray for you? God sent you here this morning on purpose. Would you at least let me share a prayer on your behalf before the throne of God today and ask God to do the things in your heart that would draw you to a life of wisdom, to a life and a choice of Jesus Christ? How many of you this morning that couldn't raise your hand just a moment ago would raise your hand now and say, preacher, pray for me. If I died right where I said, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. I've got some doubt about my eternal life in heaven. And you'd say, preacher, please pray for me. Nobody's looking at me. Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. Just slip it up. Slip it up and say, that's me. If I died right where I am, preacher, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. Please pray for me. Just slip it way up high and say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. All right. God bless you. God bless you. All right, just slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. I don't know for sure that heaven is my home. It's not that I want to die and go to hell, preacher. It's just that I don't know that I have eternal life in heaven. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. You can slip your hand down. Anybody else? God bless you. You can slip your hand down. Who will join these four or five, I think, that raised their hand and said, preacher, that's me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Say, I mean business for God. I mean business. I don't know for sure if I died and go to heaven. Pray for me. Pray for me. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. All right? Maybe you're here this morning. You'd say, preacher, I'm already saved. I've already had a born-again experience with Christ. But for whatever reason, you never got baptized after that you got saved. Listen, we don't get baptized to be saved. We get baptized because we're saved. Salvation is a picture, an external picture of your internal condition with Christ. How many would say, preacher, I'm already saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Please pray for me. Won't you slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. That's me. I've been saved, never been baptized. God bless you. You can put your hand down. God bless you. You can slip your hand down and God bless you. And you can slip your hand down. Who'll join these four and say, preacher, that's me. If I died today, I already know I'm a Christian, but if I die, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. There's five people. Anybody else want to join them? Say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anybody. Anybody. God bless you and you. There's two more. There's seven right there. Say, pray for me. Pray for me. Anybody else? All right. Maybe you're here this morning. You'd say, preacher, I'm a Christian. And you say, my life is not what it needs to be. Maybe you are living that middle life. Maybe you are doing some things. Maybe that your life is not where it needs to be. And you're not at the place to where you're sold out completely to God in the area of wisdom. Maybe you're living that middle life of madness. Just doing some things you know that you shouldn't be doing, but you're doing them. And you say, preacher, pray for me. I don't want to live here. I know I'm frustrated. I'm a Christian. But I'm frustrated a little bit in my life because I can't seem to get over the hump in some of the areas of those sins that so easily beset me. Please pray for me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. I said, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. All right. All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for your response this morning. Father, I'm going to ask you this morning in Jesus' name and by the shed blood of Christ that you do your work in this auditorium this morning. Would you move from person to person and pew to pew? I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit of God would take control of this service now. Would you convict where conviction needs to take place? And, Father, with those that need to be saved, let repentance come to their heart, may into their mind this morning, that they might come and turn from their wicked ways and turn to Christ. And then, Lord, there are some that need to be baptized, about six or seven that needed to be baptized. I pray that they would come this morning. Maybe if they're too young, their parents aren't here, they don't have permission to get baptized this morning, that at least they would come and let someone pray with them, that they would get the permission from their parents to be baptized. And then, Lord, there were probably 15 or 20 or more hands of Christians that were raised this morning that said that their life is nowhere what it needs to be. Maybe they're living that middle life of madness, doing some things they know out of the will of God, out of the ways of God and the Word of God. And they want to get right. They're not happy this morning. They're not joyful this morning. And they know they need to get totally surrendered and consecrated to Christ. I pray that this morning would be that day. To take control of this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask the instruments to begin to play. We're going to ask our soloists to begin to sing. And listen, if you raised your hand and I prayed for you, this is your opportunity. If you raised your hand and say, preacher, I need to be saved, please don't leave today without knowing Christ. If you have some doubt, if you've got some doubt about your salvation, please come. Hey, we're talking about your soul. We're talking about your life this morning. Oh, listen, don't leave without making some effort to do something about changing your direction in life. Maybe you're over here in this life of folly. Maybe you're living a life of carelessness, unconcern, but you're willing to come this morning and give it to Christ to break free from that lifestyle. Maybe you're here this morning and you're living in the compromised circle of life, the life of madness, the life of manipulating the Word of God and the ways of God and the will of God to try to make that way conform to your lifestyle. Can I ask you this morning, please, please, come this morning. Move from this life to the life of wisdom. Come on, come on, have your way. Let God have His way in your heart and your life. Hey, Solomon.